You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to John, the third chapter. We'll just start right there. Jump off that dive board and pray there's water in the pool. Hallelujah. You know, last week we taught on, or started a series on the miraculous, on the case for miracles. We'll say it that way. The logic of miracles, the sense of miracles. You know, when you admit God, you've already admitted the possibility of miracles. I mean, if you admit there is a God and He created the world, and I believe that. How about you? Then I believe the possibility of miracles is there. Of course, the next question would be, does God say He will do them? And of course, if you find it, you look in the Word, find the Word, and He does say He will do them, and He does do them. He's done many since creation throughout the Old Testament, and He did many in the New Testament and carried on even into the church. So it's not a huge step on our part to believe in the miraculous once we've accepted all the tenets of faith of Christianity. Come on, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in a virgin birth. That's a miracle. You believe He lived a sinless life. That's a miracle. You believe in the resurrection of the dead. That doesn't happen every day. That's a miracle. Amen. And so you've already crossed that line. You've already stepped over that threshold. You're already in that room of the miraculous, or you wouldn't even be a Christian. At least to that extent, you must believe in the virgin birth, sinless life, and the resurrection of Jesus to even be saved. And of course, you take in all the rest of the Bible and all the miracles that took place. I mean, it stacks up pretty high. Are you with me? When you talk about all the miracles that took place, the miraculous that took place. And of course, if you begin to look at God and how He doesn't change, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. Then there never really was a day of miracles. We often hear that term. There's just a God of miracles. And you find miracles took place when people prayed and believed and God responded and reacted to them. And God had a relationship with people. That's what He wants with us. And so if we pray and we believe, then miracles can still happen today because God's still a miracle worker. And He's still responding to the needs and the prayers and the requests and intercessions of His people. This is the pattern that you see from Matthew all the way through Revelation, from Genesis all the way through Malachi, Old and New Testament. Jesus' ministry was filled with miracles. I mean, the first thing He did was turn water into wine at a wedding feast. Nobody was dying. I mean, there wasn't someone that was in desperate need at that time. But it was important to that couple that was getting married because they had run out. I mean, this is a big thing in Judaism. A wedding feast took 7 days. They got together, and I mean, they had all the relatives in, and it was a huge festivity or party, as it were. And so they ran out of wine. I mean, no one's going to die. Are you with me? It's not critical. We haven't reached critical mass here. Hello. And yet, it was important to them, and so it was important to Jesus. And the first thing He did was turn water into wine. Hallelujah. And, you know, we have that miracle recorded. The Bible says that's the first miracle. I love that. I love the first miracle He did was in a marriage. Isn't that good? They believed in weddings. He went to weddings. And you put Jesus in your wedding, I tell you, you have a good success and good chance of success, or you know, the stats go way high for you if you put Jesus first in your marriage. He puts marriages together. We need the miracle of Jesus in our marriages. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, we go from that to all these people in John, the second chapter. You know, they saw the miracle that Jesus did. And see, miracles have there's a purpose for miracles. Think about this. Miracles lend proof to the gospel. Jesus appealed to them Himself. I mean, He said, if you don't believe My words, believe My works. Are you out there? And then there are cases where, you know, they would question Jesus. In fact, this case where the man was let down through the roof, Mark the second chapter. You know, when the four friends that brought this man sick of the palsy laying on a bed, they got to the house where Jesus was preaching and it was so full they couldn't even get in the door. And so they said, is He going to be here tomorrow? No. They climbed the roof and took the roof off. They were passionate, determined to get to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith, it says. And He said, Son of man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course, the scribes and Pharisees that were sitting there reasoned in their hearts and said, who is this man that forgives sins, that speaks blasphemies? You know what Jesus said? It's an amazing thing. He said, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up your bed and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, take up your bed and walk. And he did, and he took his bed up, and he was healed, and they all glorified God. Now, he actually used a miracle to prove his ability or willingness to forgive. And every healing in the Bible, and every miracle in the Bible, every healing today, every miracle today just backs up the point that God still forgives. Amen. Are you out there? Yeah. I mean, he hadn't stopped healing. He hadn't stopped forgiving. His mercy is forever. It endures for, you know, everlasting to everlasting. So Jesus would appeal to that, and he said that on many occasions. You know, believe my works, look at my works. And here's John coming to Jesus in the third chapter. This is where we started last week. But y'all took up way too much of my time. I didn't get to finish. So we'll just pick this up because I got somewhere I'm going with this. Amen? Amen? We need the supernatural. Hallelujah. We need the right supernatural, not the wrong. You know, the world's looking in all the wrong places for the supernatural, and they ought to be running to God. You know, even in the Old Testament it says, shall my people seek wizards that peep? That's King James. I don't know what that was all about, but I don't know. I guess the wizards went around peeping like chickens or whatever, but... But we might say, you know, psychic hotlines, fortune tellers, Ouija boards, all those kinds of things. Should we do that? I mean, shouldn't we go to God who declares the end from the beginning? Should we go to God who knows our down sitting, our uprising, who knows us from, you know, every hair on our heads counted, and it's not a big job with some of us, but Dick, I didn't maim anybody, you know, okay? I didn't point anybody out. Chris, you either, so be it far from me to name people. I would not do that. But, I mean, he knows all about it. Shouldn't we go to God instead of some wizard that peeps, you know? I mean, what is that all about anyway? You call a psychic hotline to ask your name. Don't they know it already? No? Okay. So here's Nicodemus. John 3rd chapter. He comes to Jesus and it says, first verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Prominent man. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs or miracles you do unless God be with him. That's significant because that proved it. When he saw the miracles that Jesus did, he knew he must be from God. Isn't it amazing how that's flipped today in our society? In some circles today, if there is a miracle or a healing, we say, well, the devil was there, or that was by the power of the devil. They actually accused Jesus of that, incidentally. But this man had enough sense, a ruler of the Jews, to realize that if miracles were happening, God must be there. Yeah. And it would be the kind of miracles that Jesus did. Jesus didn't do the kind of miracles that we read in fairy tales. He didn't, you know, turn pumpkins into coaches and, you know, rats into coachmen. You know, he didn't do that. So this is not Grimm's fairy tales here. These miracles fit creation. When he makes bread, he makes it out of bread. He multiplies bread. When he makes fish, he multiplies fishes. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. All right. They fit. When he heals a man that's blind, his eyes see like everybody else's eyes see. When he heals a cripple, his legs walk like all of our legs walk. Even when Jesus entered the earth supernaturally by a virgin birth, it was through a woman, and he became a child, and he grew up, just like all babies are born and grow up. Are you with me? And all babies are born to women. Are you with me? Thank God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Anyway, when you go through the miracles, you know, even when the devil tempted Jesus, what did he tempt him to do? To make bread out of rocks. Well, God didn't make bread out of rocks. See, when Jesus does a miracle, it has the mark of the Creator on it. And even water out, you know, water into wine. Well, all water, if it gets around vines, goes up into grapevines and becomes wine, it comes from water through a process, a long process that takes place, and we don't often see the miraculous in the long process, but God is doing miracles every single day. We're just missing them because they're on a broad scale. Every birth is a miracle. Are you with me? Every plant that grows and produces corn and then, you know, wheat, and then, hello, you go through the plants that grow all these things, and we make bread and food and all that. It's a miracle, the miracle of creation. All fish, the seas are swarming with fish, and, you know, we catch them and we eat them, and, you know, and I better not talk too long. It's just getting too close to lunch. But anyway, the miraculous is going on all the time, but Jesus comes along, and he does it close up immediately, and we see it, and we go, wow, there's a miracle. But really, the miracle is what God's been doing all the time. Right. On a grand scale. Isn't that right? And we go, we see the cripple walk, and we see the blind eyes open and the deaf ears open, and we go, Wow, that's a miracle, and we've been hearing through our ears our whole life. We've been walking on our feet and seeing through our eyes the whole life, our whole life, and never acknowledged the miracle of the Creator, the one who made our eyes and made our legs and made our ears. See, it has the scent, the aroma. Everything Jesus does looks like God, because it is God. Are you with me? It's been God all this time, and we just hadn't had enough sense to realize it. And now we're struck in the face with it. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, walking the earth, woo, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil, stopping storms, blessing people, and forgiving. And we go, wow, that is miraculous. Been going on all the time. Been going on all the time. See, everything Jesus did fit. It fit. These miracles fit. They fit the Creator. They fit creation. They have the scent. They have the aroma. Oh, I've picked up that scent before. Where have I seen that? Well, all your life you've seen it. Woo! Good stuff. Amen? Amen? And God can step in anytime He wants to. And He did the miraculous throughout Jesus' ministry, throughout the disciples, not just the apostles, the whole early church. And He's still doing them today. I mean, when people get healed in a hospital and walk out, it's a miracle. Hallelujah. What's so wrong about that? What's so out of kilter about that? That's not some intrusion. That's not something that's defying natural law. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you who the intruder is. I'll tell you who's defied God's will. Sickness and disease. That's what has intruded upon us. Pain and depression has come in, and that's not God's will. And so we pray to make it right. We pray God's will to be done. When we lay hands on the sick and we pray for one another, we might be healed, and we pray for peace to come in people's lives, and we pray for miracles. Miracles fix things. The man with a withered hand, when Jesus told him to stand up, He said, stretch forth your hand. The Bible says it was restored whole like the other. Miracles restore. They make things right. They're not messed up. They're not satanic. It's what we as the church should be believing for each one of us. We should be believing for better marriages. We should be believing for healing. We should be believing for peace. We should, blah, 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 too many B's. But anyway, we should believe for the miraculous. Woo. Okay. So he comes to Jesus. And see, I'm still not getting any further with this. Come on now. Y'all help me here. I got to. Okay. If y'all amen, you know, and say, ooh, good preaching. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's make this better. So he comes to Jesus and he said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus says right back to him, this is what gets me. He didn't say thank you. He didn't say, oh, that's a pretty good observation. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. Actually, he came back at him with a miracle. This is a miracle you need to see. This is a miracle you need in your life to really see the kingdom. You've caught little bits and pieces here. You've seen a miracle or two here, and you've recognized me being from God. But until you are born again, changes your whole perspective when you're born again. It takes skeptics and agnostics and atheists and makes and convinces them of the truth of the gospel. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and you know the author of this book and the creator of creation, it changes everything. Yes. Hallelujah. You see, totally different. Absolutely different. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned or understood. Now that makes sense when you think about it. People think it's silly sometimes to believe for a miracle, or people think it's silly when you say you love Jesus. But real men love Jesus. Real men pray to God in Jesus' name. Real men live holy. Real men are faithful to their wives. Hello. Real men and real women live holy. Are you with me? They do. They just live that way. Doesn't say we don't sin and have to get forgiveness, but we're determined to live for God. We're determined to go to heaven. We're determined to see Him in our lives and our children and our grandchildren, so on and so forth. See, but some of that just seems silly to the world, especially when you start talking about the miraculous. Now you've really gone overboard when you start talking about believing for a healing when the doctor says it's impossible. Listen, we thank God for doctors, and we pray for hospitals, and we pray for doctors, and we pray for medicine. We thank God for all that. But I tell you, we have not given up on God. We believe that God's still the great physician, that He can heal us in that hospital or heal us taking that medicine. Are you with me? And we do need to use wisdom. I'm not saying throw your medicine away. If you're believing God for good eyesight, keep your glasses on. Don't you drive down that road without those glasses. And say, I'm believing for my healing. Well, believe for your healing, but keep your glasses on until you can't see it, you know, through them or something. Or keep taking the medicine until it makes you sick. Are y'all out there? The Bible does not say, go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover if they throw their glasses away, or if they throw their medicine away, or if they throw their crutches away. See, there's nothing in there that says that. It just says you believe, you lay hands on the sick, you believe, and then it will be evident when it happens. You won't need the crutch, you won't need this, you won't need that, so on and so forth. Okay. All right. I'm not against glasses. As I get a little older, I kind of need them, you know. I know people have a little problem with that. You know, well, your eye's not supposed to get that way. Well, I understand. I mean, but, you know, okay, why don't you do something about your wrinkles then? We'll talk about that. I think the outward man does perish. The inward man's renewed day by day. I'm going to get older. That just happens. But I believe I can go out healed and live a good life and go out healed. But some things are just going to happen, okay? Moving right along here. Okay. So Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom. And I believe that. Actually, I see more now after I'm born again and saved than I ever saw before. Even when I begin to entertain the idea there might be a God back in my drug days and when I was lost and undone. And I didn't understand anything. I had to get saved to begin to see it. Are you with me? And after I got saved, I began to see more. I began to see more in the Bible that God is very active, very alive, very relational, loves me. God, figure that one out. He actually loves me and cares about me. He's concerned about me, my kids and my family and little things. And, you know, he really wants a relationship with me. He wants to talk to me, wants me to talk to him, you know, and spend time worshiping him. And he's actually for me, not against me. Yeah. Wow. He doesn't hate me. Even when I sin, he doesn't like it, but he wants me to repent because he knows I can do better. Amen. And it does grieve him and hurt him when I sin, and I should repent of it and stop it because it's wrong. It's going to kill me and my family if I don't. You know, I need to stop all that. But he doesn't give up on me. He doesn't quit because he really loves me. Real love. Real love. Praise God. And so, you know, I begin to see that God's for me. He, you know, when you fall in love with Jesus, it just changes your whole perspective because you see God as, you begin to see him as he truly is. He's not just the policeman in the skies passing out tickets when you do something wrong. He's not the ogre with the stick. We think of him just being sovereign and omnipotent and the ruler and controlling. But no, he's not. He's got all power. He's God. He made everything. But he relinquished that power because he loves us. He's given us a will. And he's given us a little authority here. And we can mess up, but that's the cost. That's the price of love. I can mess up and you can mess up. It's not his will when we do that. Are you with me? But he loves us too much to control us to the point to we can't make choices. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Why? Because he loves us. Yeah. And he wants us to respond in kind. And when you look at this and you get saved and you get passionate about the Lord, you begin to see things a little more clearly. Thank God there's more going on here than what I see with my eyes. Thank God there's more going on here than what I feel with my hands and what I smell with my nose and what I hear with my ears and taste with my mouth. Thank God there's another world than just this natural world. There is a spiritual world also. And we need to understand both worlds and the laws that govern them. There are spiritual laws as sure as there are natural laws. As sure as you walk off the roof, gravity will cause you to hit ground. That's natural law. But there's spiritual laws too. Laws of confession. Laws of sowing and reaping and so on that take place. And you need to know that. See, if all you have is the natural and all you believe in is the natural and you think it's just what it is and you just got to, you know, you got to play the cards that are dealt you, you know. If that's all there is, then you have no invisible means of support. That's right. But praise God when everything in the natural falls apart. When everything blows up in my face. When every avenue of help in this world is cut off, I still got hope.
That's right.
I still got hope because I believe in God and I believe in the miraculous and I believe God can still pull through and still come through and he does come through. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So he goes on here and Nicodemus still thinking naturally. Jesus said you must be born again and Nicodemus is thinking, what are you talking about? Born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man enter can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he's still in the natural world. He still hadn't made the break yet. Jesus is not talking about natural. He's talking about supernatural birth. He's talking about being born from heaven. Are you with me? But as long as you're hanging around in that natural and that's your only hope and your only help and your only faith and focus is the natural, you can't even see the supernatural. Let me tell you something. You can't even be born again and be saved without believing in the miraculous, because salvation is a miracle. Salvation is the work of God, not you. Salvation is what God does. See, this is what separates us from Islam, the Muslim faith, and the Buddhist faith, and the Hindu faith, and hey, even Judaism, although we have our roots in Judaism. But what separates us from all that is that we believe that salvation is from God, and it is supernatural, and Jesus did it for us.
Amen.
We believe in being born again, actually dying to our old self, and becoming a new creature in Christ. Whew, go figure. How does that happen? That's supernatural. This is what separates us Christians from all other religions. This is what separates Jesus from all other religious leaders. Muhammad did no miracles. There's none recorded in the Quran. Buddha did none. And, you know, in the Hindu faith, there are no miracles in the Hindu faith. And now we have some in Judaism prior to, you know, Jesus. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. But Jesus comes along. He doesn't give us a message. He is the message. He doesn't show us God. He is God. Woohoo!
Amen.
Hello. He rose from the dead. Nobody else rose from the dead. Are you with me? Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. You know, there's an old song that says it won't be old Buddha sitting on that throne.
Yeah.
And it won't be Muhammad calling us home. And it won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. Are you with me? It's going to be Jesus. Hallelujah. He's not a man like... He is a man, but he's a God man. He's God and man. He wasn't just a religious teacher, a leader. He's the Son of the living God. He didn't show us a way. He said, I am the way. He didn't give us the truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't offer us life. He said, I am the life.
Amen. It's good.
He didn't point a way to God. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Woo! And that's for everybody. That's for every Muslim and every Jew and every Buddhist and every Hindu. If they'll come to Jesus, we don't hate them. We're for them. We're for everybody that's lost and undone and without hope in the world. They have hope in God.
Yes.
That's our message. The gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? Yes. Don't hate people that don't know Jesus. We're compelled them to come to Him and receive Him because He died for everybody.
Amen.
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 So Nicodemus is thinking, well, maybe I can do this over again. Well, you can't do it over again. You know, once you realize you are the problem, you are not the answer. Okay? When you realize you are the problem, you are not the answer. Okay? You am the problem. You am not the answer. Whether you am able to talk or not. Okay? Well, that's kind of the way we think. I got myself in this mess. I get myself out of this mess. Are you kidding me? You are the problem, man. You need help. And that's why Jesus came. Because if we try to do this over again, you know, this is not, you know, he's playing again. What's that game? Do over. What is that everybody does? What game everybody says do over? Okay. I lost everybody at that point. Okay. It's all right. Boy, that's a dead pause there. I hate those things. Anyway. Okay. Y'all know Ted's 40 years old? Did y'all? You know, when you do something, I don't know what kind of game it is. I heard the kids say, do over. They get to do that over again. Well, you can't do this over again, okay? You can come back 100 times and you'd mess up again. You are the problem, see? Being born into this earth is the problem. Being born again is the answer from heaven. Not being born again down here, that wouldn't help. You did that 1,000 times, wouldn't help. You can come back as a cow, dog, or whatever you want to come back as. I don't believe in all that. I'm just saying that's not going to make it any better. Are you out there? Okay. You need a miracle. You need the miracle of the new birth. You need the supernatural born-again experience that takes place from heaven, that the Spirit of God does, not what you do, what He does. That's the only way you're going to get this done and get this right. And He says, Jesus answered, when he asked that question about being born a second time in the mother's womb, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit. Everybody say, and.
Amen.
Okay, it's two births. Born into the earth is one, but if you're not born of the Spirit. See, born of water was not water baptism. He's talking about being born of the water. I hope I have to get technical with you about how a baby's born, okay? Because the water breaks, the baby comes out, okay? Isn't that right? We're born of water. So that's an earth birth, okay? Earth birth. But we need a heaven birth. And so what he's saying, Nicodemus, if you had 100 earth births, wouldn't help you. You got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's earth, water. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He wasn't talking about water baptism. That's another topic altogether. That's after you say. But here he's talking about being born into the earth. You need a second birth, but not of the same kind. You need to become another man, not of the same kind, though. See, there is a natural man, there is a spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter talks about, it says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam, so shall we bore the image of the heavenly, Jesus. In Adam all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Woo, hallelujah. So it wouldn't matter how good you were, you would never get good enough or be good enough to go to heaven. It wouldn't matter how many laws you kept out of the old covenant. You couldn't keep enough of them to be saved because the problem was not what you were doing. The problem was who you are.
That's right.
Oh boy, think about that one. And how can a leper change his spots? Man, how are we going to change who we are? Well, we can't, but he can. He can do it. Supernaturally, he can come down and he can change us. He can take us from darkness to light. He can turn us from the power of Satan to God. He can make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation is what it says in the Greek. Old things are passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we are ambassadors for Christ, reconciling the world to God. Wow. Good stuff. Amen. But I'd submit to you, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's not a man thing, it's a God thing. It's not what you did, it's what he does. Amen. And he says this. He says, let me get in the right chapter here. I'm determined not to put my glasses on. Jesus answered, most surely I say to you, unless one is born again or of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, that's the water, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, no explanation needed there, is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been born of the Spirit. Every one of us had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You couldn't be saved without that because we all by one Spirit have been immersed into the body of Christ, is what the Bible says. And the Spirit draws us, the Bible says. But that's supernatural. You've got to make that leap. You've got to make that step. You've got to step out of the natural into the supernatural. You've got to get out of the flesh and into the Spirit. You've got to get your focus and your faith off yourself and put your focus and your faith in Him. That's supernatural. That's miraculous. That's what you did if you got saved. And so if you are saved, you believe in the miraculous because salvation is a miracle. Now, if you're a Muslim, you don't have to do that. You just have to submit. That's what Islam means. You submit with submission. So you just submit to God. And you hope to God that when you get there, Allah will be there waiting on you, you know, and say, okay, you made it. You know, it's about submission. It's about submission. Buddhism, you just become, I don't know, one with everything and block everything out. You attain that level of consciousness and, you know, and kind of like a lot of these Far Eastern, you know, nirvana and all these things. And even on the Judaism, you just keep bringing those sacrifices over and over every year and hope you get covered for a year and hope you make it to, you know, Abraham's bosom or something. But in Christianity, it's not that way at all. No. Not that way at all. We are not Buddhist. We are not Hindus. We're not Muslims, and we're not Jews. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for the Jews, but we're not Jews. We are Christians. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We are believers in supernatural salvation. Salvation by God, from God, not from ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. And that's a miracle. So I believe in the miraculous. Of course I do. I'm a Christian. Now, is it a huge leap to believe from the miracle of the new birth to the miracle of healing, the miracle to answered prayer? Is that some huge leap? Oh, that's not a huge leap at all. In fact, the greatest miracle is my salvation. There's nothing greater than that. Everything else is just, I mean, secondary to that. Are you kidding me? Healing's nothing compared to salvation. Peace, when I need it. Deliverance, provision, those kinds of things, nothing compared to my salvation. If He took care of the big thing, He'll take care of the little thing. He turned water into wine, the first miracle He did. Nobody was dying there. Listen, if you can believe God to be saved, you can believe God to help you through this day. Well, I don't know about all that supernatural stuff. Oh, whoa, 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 no. No, you've already crossed that line. You have believed for the biggest miracle that ever will take place in your life if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you explain that to me on paper and make sense of it without Scripture, how you got saved? Explain to me how the blood washes your sins away. I can't, but I know it. I know it does. I have His Word on it, and there's been a change in my life. I am not the person I used to be. The Spirit of God came on me and turned me into another man. Hallelujah. I don't think the same. I don't act the same. I don't look the same. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Something happened to me. Supernatural. A miracle of new birth. You know, Peter asked Jesus, he said, well, Lord, who then can be saved? Mark the 10th chapter is where it took place. He said, well, with men it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. 1 John 5, real quick, turn there. I'll wrap this up. We got a show we got to put on here in a minute. No, we're going to graduate these children. It's going to be good. You're going to love it. 1 John 5, we'll wrap this up. Wow. This helping you?
Yes.
See, I think sometimes we forget. I heard it said like this. We're looking out the back window or the kitchen window, whatever. We're looking at the garden, looking at the yard, looking at the pond, looking at what used to be a pond. And another story all together. You know they're changing the mileage signs out here. Lake Tawakoni now is 15 miles, not 14. Okay, but sometimes we miss the obvious. We're looking, look at that beautiful yard or whatever the case may be, or burn up or whatever. You know, but the obvious thing is you're looking through a glass, and we don't even think about the glass. It's there all that time. And we're looking sometimes at the possibility of miracles or healing or deliverance or help, and we think, well, that sure would be nice. And we forget. We're looking at it from the standpoint of being a Christian. We are Christians. We are believers. We've already had the biggest miracle you could ever have. And the obvious just, it leaves us. Completely leaves us. And there it is, staring us in the face the whole time. I am a Christian. I am a believer. Of course miracles are possible. If God can do that, and the only reason I know He did that is because He said so. And I believed it. Well, He says some other things too. Can I believe those too? Woo! Okay, 1 John 5:13, you know this verse, and we'll wrap this up. Pick it up next week. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. How many of you believe on the name of the Son of God? Jesus. Okay. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I'm not waiting one day to find out. I know I have eternal life. Why? Because I believe on the name of the Son of God. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Hallelujah. I've confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe my heart, God raised Him from the dead.
Right.
Woo! I'm saved. How about you? You saved? You know you got it? You know you have eternal life? Because that's what it says. These things are written to you to believe on the name of the Son of God. God, you may know that you have eternal life. And, whoa, wait a minute. What? It doesn't just stop there. It says, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence which we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. You believed on Jesus, you're saved, you've got eternal life. Now continue to believe on Him for whatever else He provides or whatever else He promises. And know that you have it. And know that you have it. And know that you have it. Do you know you have eternal life? I know I have eternal life. Well, do I know I have His promises when I pray them and believe them? I mean, I believe for the big miracle. Can I believe for the small one? I mean, the life's more than the meat. God so feed the sparrows, that, you know, and will he not feed you? If he clothes the lilies, will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wow. Think about it. So those things are nothing. Feed you and clothe you? Oh, come on, he's giving you life. That's the point he's making in Matthew 6. He's already given you life. That's a miracle. Is food and provision anything for him? Nothing. 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 That's nothing. So we believe in the supernatural. We're Christians. Are you with me? We've already believed for the big miracle. Now let's believe him for the rest of them. Provisions, help, healing, hope.